So welcome to the second half, and we're still talking about Torquay's excellent, well, on the face of it, excellent tour. Yeah.
Well, Grimsby. You'd have taken it before the game.
Yes, we would, yeah. But after the Woking game, Paul Cox's main concern wasn't the refereeing, it was the fact that Torquay had let a point slip in the last minute. How was he with the Grimsby? Because for anybody who didn't realise, Torquay were 2-0 up.
2-0 up, and Grimsby pulled it back in the second half. First one, I felt a little bit for Fabian Spies. The guy suddenly turned and had a shot from about 25 yards out. And Spies dived to low to his right to save
just
the shot.
Just to people listening, Dave is diving to his right.
He's almost out the window. Yeah.
Yeah, textbook stuff. Body right behind the ball. And the ball appeared just to sort of, it was one of those ones everybody's seen them hundreds of times. The ball bounces just as it reaches him, just before it reaches him, and it beat his dive and just bounced over his fingers, and which is a bit disappointing. Yeah. By that stage, I think we all thought they're getting through this. Grimsby can't get through them.
This chap, by the way, had a very eventful debut for Grimsby, didn't he? Because he scored an own goal in the first half.
Yes.
And then scored that goal to
score the comeback. Matt Robinson on loan from Luton.
Yeah.
Exodus Cahagan's throws, panic stations every single time. Yeah. He threw it near post, centre spot, far post. You name it, and it looked a real problem. Angus MacDonald is the man who gets on the end of most of them, or tries to, and on this occasion he couldn't. Yeah. And Matt Robinson jumped up behind him, tried to clear it, and it skimmed straight off the top of his head and into the net.
Glorious.
Absolutely.
no sympathy whatsoever. He wouldn't have any for us.
Joe Quigley having headed United into the lead, and we'll come to him in a minute. And then just, you know, you're thinking 70th minute, 69, 70th minute, you know, come on, get through this. And then the Matt Robinson made up for his mistake with this shot that beat Fabian Spies. And then 10 minutes from time, Danny East, their fullback, crossed from the right, and Padraic Amon, the Irish striker who they'd brought on. And I've made the point in the match report that I thought the fact that Grimsby's bench included five players who would walk into any other.
I was going to say, Amon is a good player, isn't he?
Which is
John Pittman on their bench.
Never even got a kick.
Yeah.
And that's the difference, really, between the strength of the two squads. And I understand that the pressure's on big time at Grimsby. They lost to Altrincham in the week, 2-2 draw at home to Torquay. Hurst had reacted by making four changes for the match on Saturday. Anyway, that way, but 2-2, 10 minutes to go, 15 as it turned out because of 5 minutes of stoppage time. In those circumstances, decent crowd at Blundell Park roaring them on. Grimsby well on top. You couldn't help thinking, "Oops, are we even going to get a point out of this?" So credit Torquay, they got through the last 15 minutes okay. And actually, although they conceded a 2-goal lead, I didn't think the problem was in defence. I thought all United's back five played well.
Yeah.
It was just that United at the moment haven't quite got enough up front. Mm. Don't forget, Wade Fairhurst is injured at the moment.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know about Luke Young. Just to get hold of the ball, keep it, or even to stick the ball in behind their back four and hold it up in there and pull everybody off up the pitch and relieve the pressure. And United haven't quite got that at the moment.
At the moment, you're asking a very young forward line to do men's jobs.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I'm not in the least surprised that Paul Cox, I think, over the weekend will seek to extend the loans. They don't actually run out until the end of next week. Mm. Of Joe Quigley and possibly as well Josh Carmichael. I think they've both done very well. They've played every game so far. Quigley scored a cracking goal at Grimsby, which is just what he's been wanting and looking forward to. Josh Carmichael has already scored. These are lads who are 18 and 20 respectively.
But the whole team, I think, has shown quite a lot of character already this season, haven't they? They've come through some difficult away games.
Absolutely.
They've come away with good points from difficult away games.
I mean, United have got, seven now, haven't they, from five games? And there's two games coming up this weekend. Yeah. Cheltenham at home on Saturday, that should be a goodie, with Cheltenham about to bring some fans with them. They haven't lost yet this season, two wins and three draws. Aaron Downes also back at Plainmoor.
That'll
popular
be interesting,
figure.
Won't it?
Yes,
yeah,
it will.
Yeah.
Scored an own goal on Saturday.
Oh, take another one of those. And then another toughie, Eastleigh away on Monday. Now, so that would be seven games. I mean, I think that if United could emerge from seven games, from those first seven games, with, say, 10 points.
10 points from seven, we'd have taken that.
I think that would be a real decent start. The whole point is, of course, is that if they could beat Cheltenham on Saturday, you know, you then think, oh, goodness, maybe we might get more than 10. But
Eastleigh's a hard place to go.
It is. You had to do the double over them last season, one up there.
Because this time last year, we were all saying that we thought Eastleigh were going to be a team that ran away, or that certainly did really well.
Well, they came
back.
They came up the previous season.
But they threw a lot of money at them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they've continued to as well. They're a very up and atom team. Yeah. They don't pussyfoot around very much. So you have to get stuck in against them. They've got, you know, United fans know him well, Constable up front and Midson.
He is the definition of one of those players that you can't stand, but you'd love to have him in your team, isn't he, James Constable?
Well, yeah. So you know, it's a place where United won last season and played pretty well up there actually, it would be nice to see them being able to compete. I mean, I think the whole point about the Grimsby result is if that result hasn't given this young group of players a certain amount of belief that they can go out and they were good value for their lead in the first half. They were the better side at Grimsby in the first half. Now, I'm not getting, you know, carried away that United are any further forward than they really are, but it's got to give this young squad some belief that they can go to places like that. At Wrexham, they did the same thing. They took the lead at Wrexham, you know, and say, look, we're not also Rans here. We can get stuck into these teams, and that's a big plus.
Be nice to get a decent crowd on Saturday for the Cheltenham game as well. Bank holiday weekend, the team's going well, playing decent football.
Yeah, Bournemouth. Cheltenham will bring a few.
Yeah. It would be nice to get that family stand a bit more full, wouldn't it? Well, the old mini stand end
touched
is suffering
week.
A little bit, isn't
it? Yeah, it has. And obviously, St. Bristow's Bench is such a terrific place to watch football. Panoramic views of the sun going down over Hayton. Of the team playing. Yes. Well, the first few games, the sunsets have been spectacular, haven't they?
Yeah. But also very bright.
Yes, exactly. So, but anyway, it is a great stand, and nobody's knocking that. But it's meant that the family stand, which is of course is you know all seater as well. And I had a chat with the chairman Dave Phillips about it this week, and he did say that it was something they might have to have a look at to see if they could make it a little bit more attractive. Whether you just simply reduce the prices or not, I don't know. I wonder whether you might even think about making it more of a sort of a children's a youngsters stand. That's a possibility. Talking of which, I travelled up to Grimsby with the United Travel Club on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Terrific day out. What a great bunch.
Yeah.
Very well run. And the kids, well, let's hope some of these songs catch on because they're trying very hard to get them up.
Yeah, we talked about this last week, didn't we?
Yeah, they've got a song for almost every player in the team now. At, if any of the players can listen out for it on a Saturday afternoon. Whether that's a possibility of make it a bit more of a youngster's end, I don't know. It's already a family stand, so you know you can't go down that road much more. I think obviously a price cut might tempt a few more people in there. The trouble is Bristol's Bench is so good, isn't it?
The thing with the Lorna Window Stadium now is it is such a good place to watch football.
It is.
You know, the popular side is what it is. It's great over
Quite.
There. Family stand, as you say.
There isn't a stanchion in sight.
No, and Bristow's Bench has been a huge success, hasn't it? Even the away end's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think you look at that ground now and you remember what was there in the past. It's one of the best grounds at this level in the country. It's got to be. And you know, well done to
successive regimes.
Mike Bateson
for putting
up the family stand and doing... And then the Bristows for doing the Bristows Bench, because it's really made it a lovely place to be at.
I'm going to have to go and look at an old picture of the mini stand.
I've got one of Stuart Morgan
and
Paul Dobson and all the players at that the end of that season when they went down, and they're all drinking Heineken and toasting it with a beer.
Isotonic.
Other beers were available. Yeah.
So we'll leave it there this week, chaps. Thank you very much for your company. Hopefully
important
we'll
weekend
see
coming up.
Lots of you up at the Lorna Window Stadium on Saturday for the Cheltenham game. Let's get the place rocking and let's hear those new songs, eh?
Yeah, the Anarchy in the UK one was good. I enjoyed that.
We'll be with you next week.